The Bible is a book by God and about God and the relationship He wants to have with you. That makes it by far the world's most important and most precious book. Welcome to this edition of Spotlight on the Word. In our study today, we will be looking at 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 and 2 Thessalonians from the New Testament. What powerful books they are. But let's go back and summarize some of the books that we have recently studied from the pen of the Apostle Paul and notice what they tell us about Jesus and His precious gospel. Let's consider the book of Romans. What does Romans tell us about Jesus and His gospel? It is through Jesus and His gospel that men are made right. A great word to remember is righteous. Through Jesus and His gospel, we are made righteous. Look at 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, what does it say about Jesus and His gospel? You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31, it reminds us Jesus and His gospel are a revelation of the wisdom of God. That's why that Jesus and His gospel are so precious, a revelation of the wisdom of God. We come to 2 Corinthians. What does it say about Jesus and His gospel? It reminds us that Jesus and His gospel are the source of all comfort, all encouragement. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. But as we continue looking at these letters of the Apostle Paul, we've looked at Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians already. We also have studied the book of Galatians. What does it tell us about Jesus and His gospel? Jesus and His gospel set us free. The liberty that comes from Jesus and His gospel. The book of Ephesians, with 6 chapters, emphasizing the greatness of the Lord's church. What does it tell us about Jesus and His gospel? It tells us about the riches of being in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is to be found in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Then we come to the book of Philippians. You look at Philippians, what does it tell us about Jesus and His precious gospel? Jesus and His gospel are the source of true joy. We can rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4 and verse 4. How about the book of Colossians with its 4 chapters? What does Colossians tell us about Jesus and His gospel? It tells us Jesus and His gospel are preeminent. They are sufficient. Nothing is to be added to Jesus and His soul-saving gospel. It's all that we need. And then the book of Philemon. While this is not exactly in the order of the New Testament books, it helps to look at Colossians and Philemon together because they were addressed to the same group of people, to Christians at Colossae. What's the idea about Jesus and His gospel that can be seen in this one chapter book called Philemon? Well, the idea is this. Jesus is our greatest friend. Our greatest friend. Forgiveness is to be found in Him. Provision is to be found in Him. And just as Paul would plead with Philemon to receive Onesimus, a runaway slave, back into his household without any kind of repercussion that would be abusive or hurtful, because now Onesimus is not only his returning servant, but his returning brother. He's become a Christian. Paul says, Philemon, put on my account anything that you might want to say or do. Just lay that to my account because I know you're a good man and will do right. Jesus is our best friend, and because of Him, reconciliation can occur with the Father. Now let's look at the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And here is what each one of them tell us about Jesus and the gospel. 1st Thessalonians, Jesus and His gospel make us holy, separate from sin, dedicated to God, holy. That's the idea behind much of the thought in 1 Thessalonians and then 2 Thessalonians. Jesus and His gospel give us confidence, give us assurance. So as we look at 1 and 2 Thessalonians, one of the things we need to really appreciate is 1 Thessalonians tells us about holiness, how through Jesus and His word, we are made holy before God. And 2 Thessalonians gives us a sense of assurance and confidence concerning the coming of the Lord. Now, 1 Thessalonians. As we look at 1 Thessalonians, it finds its background in Paul's second missionary journey found in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Thessalonians tells us about holiness, but notice that there is a strong emphasis upon the second coming of Jesus. There are five chapters in the book of 1 Thessalonians. At the conclusion of each of the five chapters, reference is made to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's so important to remember about this book. 1 and 2 Thessalonians were both written sometime around 51 or 50 A.D. Keep that in mind. That would make these books some of the earlier books of our New Testament, certainly some of Paul's earliest writings. But when we look at the book again of 1 Thessalonians, it deals with the second coming at the conclusion of all five chapters, the second coming of Jesus. Eschatology is a big word, but eschatology has to do with the study of the end times. Eschatology is about the study of the end times. In the world today, as was true then, there are people that are guilty of eschatophobia. They have a fear of discussing anything regarding the end of time. Well, 1 Thessalonians, as well as 2 Thessalonians, profoundly emphasizes, stresses the second coming of Jesus. So people can and ought to have a healthy view of the second coming of Christ. But not only is there eschatophobia out there, a fear of discussing the second coming of Christ at all, we might also say there's eschatomania. That's all some people in the world of the greater area of Christianity want to discuss. They want to discuss signs, as they allege, of the second coming of Jesus. Eschatophobia is one extreme. Eschatomania is another. How we need a healthy view of the second coming, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians help provide such thinking, such a practice. They give us healthy doctrine. Well, as we look at the book of 1 Thessalonians, let me give you an outline, a two-part outline that I think will be very helpful to looking at these five chapters. What Paul remembers. Paul remembers chapters 1, 2, and 3. These are some reminiscences of Paul regarding the early days of the church there at Thessalonica. How the Thessalonians began in the faith, how that they were nurtured in the faith, and how that they grew stronger in the faith. More about that in just a moment. But those expressions, how they began in Jesus, that's chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. How they were nurtured in Jesus, that's chapter 2. And how they were strengthened in Jesus our Lord, that's chapter 3. And then we come to the next part, chapters 4 and 5. Paul remembers chapters 1 through 3. Paul instructs or exhorts in chapters 4 and 5. What does he exhort them to do? You can look at this and it's four H's. He exhorts them to be holy first of all. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 11. What Paul instructs the Thessalonians to do would be exhortation or instruction that can and should be given to all churches at all times in every place. Be holy, be holy. And then he talks to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, and he exhorts them to be harmonious, to be unified, harmonious, that love be found, that people do what is proper, that people behave themselves in a God-honoring way. You look again at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There is an exhortation, instruction given by the Apostle Paul to this church that he loved dearly, and it's that they be hopeful, because we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, Jesus is coming back, and He will come, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 6, as a thief. Does a thief send you a message before He's coming, telling you exactly when He's going to come? Well, of course not. When Jesus comes again, it will be like a thief. As we look at this particular section and as it concludes, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to the end of the book, verse 28, be helpful, be serving, emphasize character and service to God. That's what the book of 1 Thessalonians stresses. Now, several verses from this book I'd like for us to focus on. When we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, think about 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope. Especially when you consider the background of the people there at Thessalonica, what a marvelous statement that is. Their work of faith, their patience of hope, their labor of love. As we consider this, they had come out of idolatry. They had turned from serving idols to serve the living God, 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10. And the message of the gospel was going forth from this congregation with great, great fervor, it seems. So as Paul thinks about this church's inception, their coming to Jesus, he is filled with joy. And notice 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5. In this particular verse, you see components of effective communication. Our gospel, our message, did not come to you in word only. Logos would be the word in the original language. It has to do with the particular words, the logic, and its communication. Our gospel did not come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in conviction. It came with great pathos. That is the word in the original language. That has to do with the emotive aspects of communication. Yes, when we talk about Jesus and what He's done for us, when we talk about the preciousness of the gospel, there is a place for legitimate emotion. But capture this thought in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Yes, good communication is not just about the message, it is about the emotive features, the emotion behind it, the passion behind it. But he goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Ethos, ethics, character, integrity. It is so important in conveying the message of God to make sure that the Word is properly proclaimed and that it's done so with enthusiasm and sincerity and with true character and integrity. That's what Paul did, and that ought to be done by those who proclaim the Word of God today. It ought to be done by everyone who claims to be a Christian. As we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul talks about how these people were nurtured. They were nurtured. And words like faithfulness and gentleness and eagerness and helpfulness just literally leap off the page, these concepts do, as we think about how Paul brought the Thessalonian church along. They were nurtured in the faith. When people come to Christ, how we need to be faithful to bring them along, gentle in how we bring them along, eager to help in any and every way that we possibly can. And notice, 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14, they received the Word of God not merely as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And then as we proceed, there's an emphasis in the book here upon love, upon holiness, upon harmony, upon helping each other. Again, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. Holiness has to do with a dedication to God and a separation from what is unholy and sinful. God wants His people to be pure. He wants His people to be moral. He wants His people not to engage in immorality and fornication. God's people are to have love for each other. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, you are taught of God to do this. We are to be people who have hope. It's been said that a person can live for a few weeks without food, a few days without water, a few minutes without air, but a person can't live at all without hope. Jesus and His gospel give us hope. We know that He's coming back. In chapter 5, there is the idea of helpfulness, especially seen in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 28. Notice some of the statements. Verse 15, see to it that no one renders evil for evil, but always seek to do that which is good. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Oh, what principles, what characteristics for the people of God to live by. What instruction to take into our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. It is our responsibility to look at what is taught and to compare it to the Word of God to make sure that things correspond properly. Now we come to the book of 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians, what you have is something that is very scriptural. There are a number of allusions to the Old Testament in the three-chapter book called 2 Thessalonians. It's very scriptural. It's got a sense of urgency to it because people at Thessalonica were not behaving themselves because of misunderstandings regarding the second coming of Jesus. Some didn't have hope and some were behaving in a lazy manner. They weren't working. And Paul writes to correct these wrongs and to give them a healthy understanding of Christianity and the second coming. So you've got this idea of it being urgent and scriptural and it's ever so practical. Four themes come out in the book of 2 Thessalonians. The first theme is affliction. Affliction. Going through times of difficulty. That would be 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Then we come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the first 12 verses. If chapter 1 is about affliction, chapter 2 is about opposition. That a falling away occurs from the truth and a man of sin is revealed. More about that as we continue the study in a moment. But then we come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. on through chapter 3 and verse 5. And here's a third great theme that comes out. Confidence. Assurance. Yes, we deal with affliction and opposition, but there can be confidence and assurance in Jesus. Then 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 to the end of the book of 2 Thessalonians. What is this section about? It is about responsibility. Responsibility number 4. So again, when you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, affliction, chapter 2, 1 through 12, opposition, chapter 2, verse 13 through chapter 3 and verse 5, confidence or assurance, and then 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 6 to the conclusion of the book, it is about responsibility. Those four words help us greatly to appreciate what 2 Thessalonians is dealing with. Now let's look at 2 Thessalonians. In chapter 1, if it's about affliction, if it's about persecution and difficulty, well, with but much tribulation, we shall enter the kingdom of God, Acts 14, 22. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. When you look here at the affliction, the difficulty that these brethren, that these Christians were suffering, Paul writes that it is sincere proof of their faith. He indicates in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that it makes them stronger and it builds their character. We are never more like Jesus than when we undergo times of stress, and yet we do this with great confidence in God, just as Jesus went through stress and difficulty and affliction. He trusted in God. So should we. As you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verses 7 through 10, there is one of the strongest statements you'll find anywhere in Scripture concerning the fact that when the Lord comes back, He will judge. And those who do not know God and those that have not obeyed His word will be punished eternally. Eternal punishment is taught in the pages of Scripture. Many people do not believe in eternal punishment, but they believe in eternal glory in heaven. It seems that the same Bible that teaches one teaches the other, both everlasting punishment and everlasting peace and joy in the presence of God in heaven. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Some of the people there at Thessalonica in this church, again, maybe they were eschatomaniacs or eschatophobic. And Paul writes to correct both extremes, both views, both positions. And 2 Thessalonians 2 speaks about that the coming of the Lord will not occur until there's first a falling away and the man of sin is revealed. This is admittedly something of a difficult passage. But it seems when we look at the context, we can know that a falling away did occur, because as it concerns the leadership of the church, that's where the church seemed to go astray in the early centuries, where there were a plurality of shepherds or elders or pastors in the church. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, Acts 20, verses 17 through 38, there came to be just one pastor or elder or bishop who would preside in a church, and then over an area, and then over an extended area, and then ultimately the papacy and Roman Catholicism developed. There was a falling away that we can trace historically, getting away from God's plan as far as church worship, church organization, and what to do to be saved, the teaching of what is true and holy, and the man of sin revealed. While there has been a lot of speculation as to the identity of the man of sin, my personal conviction is that the text seems to best indicate this, that this is the Pope of Rome who opposes God, who deceives many, and who exalts himself. Think about that. And at the coming of the Lord, whether I am right or not in this particular point, when the Lord returns, He will deal with those who oppose Him, those who exalt themselves and who deceive others. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now look at verses 13 through chapter 3 and verse 5. Confidence. After dealing with opposition, after dealing with that type of theme, he goes to deal with confidence. Notice what he does. He says, you have received God and His way. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 15. They had been people who experienced sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth as they embraced the gospel. Thank God, the same thing can be true for people today. That in embracing the gospel, in obeying humbly and lovingly the gospel of Jesus, we too can be sanctified, made holy by the Spirit as we believe in the truth of God. Continue looking at 2 Thessalonians 2. How assuring, how comforting, what confidence this could give. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 17. Everlasting comfort and good hope through grace is found in Jesus. Comfort and hope, good hope, through the grace of God. Continue looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We have the Word of God, and we ought to pray that the Word of God grow, that it run, and that it be glorified. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Oh, the confidence we can have because the message that's being proclaimed is the very message of God that gives people hope, that inspires greater holiness and inspires greater love. But look at 2 Thessalonians 3, 3 through 5. We are given protection and stability by God Himself. We ought to have confidence when we truly belong to Jesus because there is this blessed assurance that God will establish us, protect us, and keep us from the evil one. The key word of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and following to the end of the book is responsibility. We should be people who work and who work hard. Paul did. He's encouraging the church at Thessalonica, work hard. Jesus is coming, but don't quit working now. If one doesn't work, one shouldn't eat. That's what the Word of God teaches. For those of us who enjoy the blessings of food, how diligent we should be to work and to so honor God. When you look at this passage, we are to work in an exemplary way. By that I mean our actions, our attitude, our spirit, our words show that we're really working heartily as unto the Lord, Colossians 3:23 and Ephesians 6 and verse 6. Yes, friends, there is great assurance and confidence that can be found in Jesus. How we need to be responsible people as we live, as we serve, as we work. Are you serving Jesus Christ faithfully? Have you come to Jesus?